ですか。
そうだよ、殺すんだよ、頭を割って。
いい加減にしろ。元はといえばお前が人のバイクを勝手に乗り回したのが悪いんだ。もうやめろ。
うるさい、俺に命令すんな。
心配してたんだぞ。
どうしていつも助けに来るんだ。俺一人だけやれたんだ。それは確かにあん時はやられたさ。でも俺だっていつまでもやられてんじゃねえんだよ。分かったかよ。
You have two messages. Press two to hear your messages. Two. Hi, it's Bob the Builder. Keep up the good work, team. Talk to you soon. Hi, Bob the Builder here. Time to fix the shed. Let's go, team. Talk to you soon.
French Vanilla Cafe is so delicious.
Queer!
I am not a queer. What up, fuckers?
Oh my god!
I didn't mean that. I didn't even know I ever said that.
Oh my god!
It's all his fault. It's the laughing fucker on the other end. It's bland. It's your fault. Oh my god. You should have never done the Stephen Hawking thing, dude.
Well, I was really going for accuracy on that one, really.
That was awesome. Book. Okay, I can't even do it. Just do a dog cocky real quick, would you?
I can't do it when I'm laughing hard.
I'm crying, dude. I'm crying from the frickin'. Anyways.
All right,
this is Radio Freak America.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Stephen Hawking with a prostitute. Oh, yes, give it to me. Who is your daddy? I want to think that's Annie. And give you massive amounts of my bukkake.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck me, dude. Oh, man. I don't want to fucking suck air on the mic. Shit. All right. Oh, ow, my chest. Dude, I would have so... I would have did a fucking so bad right there. I had to control it so hard, man. Damn it. Damn you. Oh, dude. Oh, yeah, we're recording right now, by the way.
I'm shitting you.
We're recording Radio Freak America. I'm glad, really, that we could have some levity at the beginning of the show. And yes, I am enjoying a French Vanilla Cafe. It's delicious. It's warm. It's good for the radio voice, as Rax has said.
It's so warm, and it feels good running down the front of your face.
It does. It smells like bleach.
Why is that? Anyways, let's move on. And why is it good to have a little levity at the beginning of Radio Freak America, episode 92, with Duel and Bland? Hi, Bland, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
I'm doing well as well. Because we're going to open with some disappointments, basically to get them out of the way. Yes, some disappointments. I don't know what else to call them, but there's some things that, you know, just weren't right. Just aren't as they should be. The first being, trampled Walmart shopper has history of injury claims. Yes. This woman, I don't even know her name. I don't want to even read her name. Patricia Van Lester. The woman that we talked about, that we ranted about last week, apparently has a history, a sordid past, of injury claims. Lots of them. I actually didn't have enough paper to print out the entire article, but whatever. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. A woman has filed 16 previous claims, 9 at Walmart stores. Okay, this woman is a fraud, essentially. She's a fraud. And we, you know, essentially poured out some feelings for her. So, yeah, she's a piece of shit.
What town was that in, by the way?
Orange City, Florida. So this woman, she's, you know what, she is, you know, some of those same people that we were ranting about. She is one of them now. So, and it doesn't, let me back up here. Okay, so we heard about this woman that was trampled at Walmart. Because of, you know, people going nuts, crowding, swarming for a $30 DVD player. So we rant about it. Okay. We went on what we had from the media. Okay. So from that, we learned many things. First of all, take everything that you hear in the media, including this show, for crying out loud. Take everything with a grain of salt and or more research. Thankfully, Lit found this and sent it to us. It came from local6.com, apparently a local news source there in Florida, and it let us know about the truth of this woman. So, boy, apparently she was there at 3 a.m., not for computer ink cartridges, printer ink cartridges, but to plan out her fraud. So, definitely take things with a grain of salt. Of course, you know, you're gonna have to deal with what you got, right? You're going to have to deal with the media that is, well, essentially given to you. And that's why it makes it even more so important to find alternative sources like Radio Freak America, like VinRev, like Default Radio, like Rant Radio, and other independent media sources. Go to your indie media site for your area, for your state or city. Definitely take things with a grain of salt. Next, and I know you agree with this, Bland, the fact that it was absolutely plausible should say something. The fact that she was a fraud doesn't change the fact that people were still swarming at 5 freaking a.m. for $30 DVD players. Okay, it doesn't change all that ranting about consumerism, and it still rings true.
Yeah, definitely. There's no, I mean, just because a woman didn't get trampled doesn't make the fact that people were up there any less disgusting.
Exactly. Greasy cock of capitalism.
Absolutely.
You know, snuggle with your loved one, okay? If not, snuggle with yourself. All right? Get yourself a nice warm cup of French Vanilla Cafe and enjoy the sunrise to a morning paper.
FA 92 brought to you by the of the queer coffee people.
That was queer. Yeah, so seriously, you know, yeah, she was a fraud, but you people were still acting like morons, okay? Come on. Use your VCR for, you know, another month, okay? Next, and this is only semi-related, and I bring this up because, because of what I did for the Freak News, which is coming up. Ease up. We have to ease up, and everybody needs to ease up on the Walmart employees a little bit. Okay, they're not all evil. You know, probably the higher up you go, the more money, the more people you can control, probably the more evil it gets. But a lot of them are just average Joes. You know, they're trying to make a living, and you know, unfortunately, that's the way a lot of them can, or the only way a lot of them can. So, We need to realize that as well. So, we did learn a few things from that disappointment. The next disappointment, not a big one, but I'm very glad we found out about it. From reliable sources, Fiend.
Fiend, yes.
Swear it, right, that the third-party application that takes care of packages automatically updates your Slackware system, right? That's where I thought it, you know, the name came from. I'm assuming it does, Slackware or something, whatever. Is pronounced soiree. Okay, that's not how the French word for party, right, or gathering is spelled, right? It's S-O-I-R-E-E, but apparently that's how it's pronounced. So, swear it is soiree, but, you know, whatever. Georgia, Jaga, Linux, Linux. You had a couple too, I forgot.
Om Gnome.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Okay. So we're in SEO, SCO, whatever, you know. Mac OS 10. Well, I say OS 10. I hear people say OS X.
Thank.
Oh, does he? You know what? And you know what? He could call it that. You call whatever you want, whatever you want. That's fine. But if that's how it's pronounced, I'm glad we know now.
Call it OS
X
for all I care.
Yes. Oh, I almost did another air suck there. Yeah. And if we, and believe me, we want to know if we're ever, if we're saying something wrong, if we put out some facts and are correct, let us know. Just like this woman. Let us know. Right? And he put it on the forums. Hey, man, he found out this woman was trampled. I'm glad he did. Piece of shit. Bitch. The next and last disappointment, because I know this is hard for everybody, but we'll get through this with our French Vanilla Cafe. My presentation at the 2600 meeting, I'll be honest, you know, I feel everybody was so nice, you know, everybody was so nice and, listening seemingly enjoying the presentation, and I'm sure they did. You know, they're good people, they're intelligent, they're very open-minded. But, you know, seriously, I got to apologize to the whole PHX 2600 crew, because I threw it together, and it showed. I threw it together the night before. You know, it was really short, and it was funny, you know, people laughed, and it was good. But they deserve better. Here's the thing, though. I wanted to contribute. I wanted something for the meeting, you know, because I heard how successful Brax's presentation was with the tunneling VNC through SSH, and I want that for them. I want it for everybody, you know. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna bring all my boxes, make this presentation, and give it to them. And you know, everybody's short on time right now, especially you, Bland. You know. And I went ahead and tried to throw it together that night, and I did, and I presented. I also had a massive headache. I don't know why. So Rex gave me some aspirin from Canada. I guess they're more potent or something. I was like, yeah, give them to me, baby. So did that, a little coffee, a leaded coffee, actually. This is decaf, by the way. And I started to feel better, but, you know, I wanted to be my all for my community, right, my meeting, and I don't think I was. So that was a little disappointment for me, and hopefully not for everybody else. I will, and this is for everybody, including the PHX group, I will improve the presentation, right? I've been thinking about it ever since. You know, I wake up, every morning since I wake up, and I've got something else to add, or I've got a better way to do it. So I'm gonna polish up the presentation, right? It's a PowerPoint presentation, and make it available to everybody, especially the PHX 2600 group. So that was the last disappointment. Not a big one, really. But does that make sense, Upland? You know, I wanted so much to have something for the group and something for the meeting that I kind of sacrificed, you know, a little bit of their time for a subpar presentation. I think the sacrifice was warranted, though.
Yeah, dude, that's noble. I mean, you wanted to show up with something, you know? You wanted to have something for everybody and something that you had worked on, something you put some time into.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much time as you think it may have warranted, but you put some time into it. You paid your dues, man.
Well, thanks. Thank you. And I hope everybody appreciated it. I think they did. It was well-received, and... And there, I got to tell you, I got to give shouts to everybody there. Steel Rat, Logic, Rex, everybody, Zapper, the whole group, they're so good. You know, all the new people I met, you know, I am proud, I'm honored, right, to be a part of that community because of all those good people. So, it was an amazing meeting. I mean, Logic had the shit, really. He had a glove, dude. He made a glove. Basically, he took a camera circuit, right, big capacitor on there, right, for the flashbulb, and he could charge it up, and he had a glove with some wires going through it. So basically, he made like a stun glove, and it worked. It worked beautifully. He'd get 130 volts out of a AA battery.
Damn.
And he'd pop, and he'd slap the keyboard, pop, and it would pop. It was awesome, you know. Think about it. Think about, you know, your house, you know, you got 120 coming out of your outlets. Think about walking around with a glove on that could do that, you know? It was rad. And then he showed us I don't know how much he wants out about this other thing, but he showed us something that has to do with cellular phones, and it was very leaked, I will say that. I don't think he wants it to get out, actually. So, very, very cool. And he demonstrated it right there. I mean, that's the shit, you know? Guys, dude, that is the shit. I mean, he dropped it right there. I mean, and it worked, everything. It was a blast. It was so much fun. I was mesmerized, totally. I was like a little kid. My mouth is open. I was like, oh, yeah. Why is that? I don't know. I love that kind of stuff. So shouts to all of them. And that's the end of the disappointments, because they did end. They ended quick, because I've got my French Mule Cafe. There are many, many positives that we will have in this show. Many positives. And they start with that very same meeting. I saw Meme. Yes, I did. The long-lost Meme. I saw her. Phenomenal as always. Beautiful as always. She gave me... She had to run. And I don't know if she gave me this gift just in case I don't see her before Christmas. I'm assuming that's why. But she gave me a gift. An unbelievable... Hold on, let me get it. Oh! This. I can't drop it on the table because it would knock over my coffee. She gave me something that has immense meaning. You know, much like other people have given me similar types of gifts, and they have immense meaning. She gave me a book called Control Space. Right? CTRL. It's plan words. CTR, like the keyboard, control space, and also control space, right? CONTROL to control. Rhetorics of Surveillance from Bentham, I'm not sure, to Big Brother. And it is an awesome tome. It is a giant textbook-like book, 630 pages. It's a German book, I believe. And it's all about surveillance, right? From the beginnings of, you know... It seems, I haven't read it, and it's, oh man, this really shows me how intelligent Meme is, because she reads these kind of things and can understand them, and I'm going to try my best. You know, from what seems to be, you know, medieval times, right, maybe not quite that early, and the Eye of God all the way to, you know, today and modern surveillance techniques and the art associated with it, and the art in here is amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Never. And she gave this to me. And you know, nothing. I'll get a little touchy feely because I got the coffee. If you want to, and this is me, and please, Bland, chime in. Tell me if you feel the same way. I think there's no more personal gift, right? There's nothing more meaningful than giving someone a book, especially a book that you've read, right, that you've dog-eared and you've loved so much, and you get, I feel, right, I think of you so much, I feel for you in such a way that I will give you something that has enriched me and affected my life and changed me, and I'm handing it to you, right? That's what Meme did, actually. And if you didn't catch, you know, if you haven't realized, Bland has done the same for me. He's given me books that I know mean a lot to him. I think there's nothing better. There's nothing greater.
And that really is books, man. You know, it's like I was saying earlier. I mean, it feels there's something different. I guess it's because it's so much more tangible than anything else, but there's something really to giving someone a book. I mean, it would be one thing if I had, you know, like the postscript, uploaded it to you and gave it to you. That's one thing. But I guess that truly is the, you know, the tangible difference between, like, a copy and the physical thing. You know, I mean, if I give you, you know, I could, conceivably, I could give you my entire CD collection and still have all my CDs. You know what I mean?
Right.
You would have copies. Perfect. I mean, you know, zero for zero, one for one, perfect copies. But it wouldn't be the same. But to give someone a book, it almost feels, you know, it feels gritty. I mean, it feels underground, you know. It feels like, you know, like you're having to pass the secret information back and forth. You know, even a book about anything.
I totally agree.
A book is a really special thing. And for me, you know, gifts mean a lot to me anyway. I mean, they just do. But for someone to give you, like you were saying, like, here's something that's changed me. Here's something that, you know, I was a person, and then that you added this ingredient to me, and now I'm forever different. And
right.
Now I would like to give that to you. You know, I want to share this experience with you.
Yeah,
and that's like really, I mean, like, that's really intimate, you know?
It is. You know, this is going to sound queer, but you will essentially, right, that person reads that book, both of you will essentially have that same piece. You know, the information you have may have different meanings, right? But you now have a commonality between you.
Right.
Because of that book. And it doesn't matter what it is. Giving somebody Lord of the Rings or Control Space, right? Learning Perl or Weekend Crash Course, right? Franken or, you know, Art of Deception. A book's a book.
And it's, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, it's just, you can't really describe it. I mean, it's just, I mean, for me anyway, and I guess I'm just kind of soulful about a lot of stuff anyway, but I don't know. You take that, and to know somebody well enough to give, you gotta know the fuck out of someone to give them a book.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because, you know, no one's trying to send me, like, the Archie and Jughead Digest Volume 14.
Damn it!
Yeah, well, that's probably going to ruin my Christmas from stank. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's like, to someone, especially if it's a new book, like, if, you know, if I was strolling through the bookstore, and, like, a book, like, screamed out at me, and, like, man, Duel should really have that book. I mean, man, you got to know the hell out of something. And to receive a book, you know, it's like, wow, someone thought so much of me to, you know, pay $3,000 in shipping to get this thing to me.
More in shipping than what the book costs.
Yeah, I've done that. But you know, it really lets you know a lot about yourself for the books that people give you. Because, you know, someone, you know, gave me a book about, I don't know, anything. Let's say someone gave me a Hacking Exposed. You know, it's like, well, that's the kind of image that I project. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone sees this of me and would give me this book, and it's just, it's really cool. I mean, there's a lot of, like, self-assessment that goes in it, and there's just a lot of intimacy that goes into giving a book, and it's just, and books are, to really just boil this down, books are the shit.
That was poetic, my friend.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I do read a lot, and my vocabulary is quite large, so books are the shit.
They are. And guess what? A lot of times they're not expensive.
Yeah, don't buy, you know what, do this. Everybody out there, for Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, you know, fall festival, Christmas, whatever you celebrate.
Winter solstice.
Yes, that's what it was. Whatever you celebrate, give someone on your gift list a book. Instead of, a knick-knack or a little gadget or a little something you plug in the wall and it beep-beeps and makes a little whirring noise.
Right. Instead of the frickin' golf tee game...
Well, that's kind of cool. I'd like to have one of those.
I'll steal you one.
Oh, sweet. Give me one of the gravy stains and everything. Anyway. But, yeah, just give someone a book. I mean, really think... Because that's the most thoughtful gift you can really give someone is a book.
Yeah.
You think about someone, and here you go to, you go to Walden Books or whatever, and there's like 15 grillion books in there, and one of them is right for the person you care about, for this person that you're going to give a gift to. And so you go through there, and it's just a lot, there's so much involved in giving and receiving a book. It's just, we could make it a 3-hour show talking about how wonderful books are to give and how wonderful books.
Yep.
That's just, I don't know. It's a really, really special thing.
It is. Yeah, I'm like way weak, dude. That's like going into the big bookstores, right? And they got all those juicy, going into the freaking computer section. There's so many books there I want. If I don't have the time, that's one bad thing, time. Getting the time to read all those damn books. If I had the time. So that was a huge positive. A huge positive. Yeah, dude, there's so many that I want. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was just thinking today. Bought my sister a book, as a matter of fact. Haha.
Good for you.
Think about that. Bought my sister a book for Christmas. Bought it today. And, it was in there, and I was just like, man, there's just a lot of books in here.
Yeah, is that wrong? I mean, we talk about quit consuming and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But, man, I want to read a lot of books. There's a lot of books I would like to read. Is that bad?
No.
Is that wrong?
Reading books is generally good.
Okay.
Reading magazines is worse than reading books. And for me, it's the spin factor. Because a book, if you're going to read a book that's opinionated, you pretty much know it's going to be opinionated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they at least, here's a lesson that mass media should learn from books. There's two different kinds. There's fiction and there's nonfiction. And they're clearly delineated, right? If there's too much opinion in it, fiction. So if you're reading a nonfiction book, it's just facts, and it's left up to you to paint your own pictures, and to make your own deductions, and to remember what you want to remember, and store all that information and catalog it in your own brain, without it being pre-chewed and just spoon-fed to you from the media. The media will hand you fiction and say it's the news, it's the fact. Reading books, good. Having it pre-processed for you, bad.
I caught that mentor quote, by the way.
Thank you.
Anytime. The next positive, before the freak news, this is going to be a meaty one, right? Bland's going to be going off on this, and I personally am going to be sitting here taking notes because I want to know this stuff. Bland is going to bestow upon us much information about Slack and Flux. Those who have yet to use the Slack, those who have yet to have Flux as their desktop environment will be very, very happy, and hopefully you will change. You will leave that Windows behind. You will leave that blue and green hell that you have to deal with every day, and it will feel good. So we've discussed Slackware recently. We screwed with Flux for quite a while, and it's funny how this all came about. And I'm gonna go ahead and pop it right here. You basically hosed your box.
Yeah, I broke it.
What happened?
Man, we don't really like to talk about it.
So sensitive. This is a sensitive area.
No, we'll talk about some stuff that you fucked up next week.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
That'd be a long show.
Still have time. See the stream dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, well, there's a big, long story, and this really is. Suffice to say that I managed to get rid of all my sound modules and everything sound-wise on my box.
For learning, Right.
Learning.
Yes.
Learning about Alpha. And, you know, I've learned a lot since then. I've learned some different, you know, even in breaking that box and rebuilding it, and then going back through, like, I can tell about where I messed up, and I can tell some things that I, you know, I didn't do the Alpha control store after I messed with all the mixer and all the settings and stuff like that. I didn't store the settings, so then it tried to load up, and it tried to load up a blank canvas. And it was just like, no. And so nothing happens. But anyway, I don't have it squared away, but I have rebuilt my box. So I figured, you know what I'm going to do? That new Flexbox development version, the 0.9.6, is supposed to be really, really rad. I read a lot of reviews on it, and a lot of the changes, from the current stable are really good changes. You know, you can round the corners on your menus, on your windows, on everything that opens up. You know, transparency works a lot better. There's like an apps list now that you can that you'll put in there, and you can set things to run at startup, and you can also customize the way that your applications look in there. So if you have, you know, X-term or A-term for me, if you have A-term and you can turn off, all the borders, like including the title bar, and the, you know, it's got the little maximize, minimize, close,
right,
all that, you can turn it off. So you just got like a, basically like a flat, transparent terminal.
Ooh, that's what I want, baby.
Yeah, and you can do it. You can do it with Mozilla. You can do it with whatever you wanted to. You can make things look a lot more how you want them to look, and it's still the same Fluxbox style configurations. So there's nothing new to have to learn. You know, descriptions are in parentheses still. Commands are still in brackets, and you know, actual programs are still in braces for the most part, and options also are in braces in the apps list. But anyway, it's straightforward. It's great. I mean, I love it. And you know, I found my doc apps, got all those back. First thing, you remove package, remove PKG Flexbox. It will do it. So I had to get rid of the old one. And I downloaded the sources, 600K for Window Manager.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. So anyway, after about that long, I had Flexbox downloaded. You know, untarred it, / configure, make install. Well, I configured it. I did / configure / help, and there's all these different configure options that you can go through. And I chose the ones that were right for me. I wanted to compile it with GNOME so that I can have GNOME apps running in the slit. So that way, you know, you can run it and then -W and it'll put it in the slit. Like WMXMS runs in the slit.
Nice.
You can run a GNOME application and in withdrawn mode and rat-a-tat-tat, there it is. So it's really cool.
It sounds very cool. I can't wait to try that out. You actually... Can I go ahead and pimp this now?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's convenient. Bland, after he took hours, right? Hours of research, setting it up, learning Slack and Flux in and out, was nice enough to write it up in an email and send it to me because he knows as soon as I get a chance, as soon as I get a little time, I want to do the same thing. So basically, I get to learn from him. And what I as soon as I saw it, I said, this is a text file. And I want to give this to the community, to put it on Old School Freak, if not the forums as well. That is good information. That is great information. And I hope you don't mind. Would you mind?
Oh, go ahead. Be my guest.
Great. I think it deserves to be out there, right? I mean, all in one spot, all these great tips, right, to use GNOME and Flux together. You also figured, you also, what did you do? You did something so Nautilus would work correctly.
Yeah, in the current stable. And if you're using the current stable right now, Nautilus really crapped out. Like, I would try to run Nautilus from Flux, and it would almost turn into GNOME. It's weird. It had Fluxbox, but it was using the background that I was using in GNOME, and like he would have like the trash can there, which is like odd. I mean, I personally despise trash cans anyway, but that's the
yes.
there. At this point, I despise anything sitting on the desktop, right? But anyway, although it would be cool, you can do this in new Fluxbox. I'll chase the rabbit here for just a second. I believe it's some BSD distro. Instead of like a task bar, when you minimize a program, you know how it goes to the task bar?
Right.
Instead of minimizing to a task bar, there is no task bar. There's just like, it just minimizes it to an icon on the desktop.
That's nice.
Yeah, which is kind of tight.
Yeah, it is.
So that would be cool. And they're not permanently there, so if you close them, they're gone, right? But if you got to switch between like 40 different things, that'd be kind of rad.
Right.
Anyway, I've lost my train. Oh, yeah.
Nautilus.
So Nautilus, yeah, it was bad. And I installed Rockfiler, and that's kind of cool. It's really clicky and really draggy droppy,
mm-hmm.
which Enlightenment, which Fluxbox is not. So it says to, you know, like you click and drag applications to associate them with files, right? So if you had like a JPEG and you wanted to open it with Mozilla Firebird, you're supposed to drag and drop Mozilla Firebird into this little area.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of hard because there's no clicky draggy in Fluxbox.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty of it. So Rockfiler and Fluxbox, not a good combo. But I was using it, and frankly, it just kind of pissed me off to the point where I just kind of left it sitting there idly on the old box and used straight bash, which is really the greatest file manager of them all.
Yes,
the file manager of them all.
Yeah.
And only I keep Nautilus, and I'm getting to this grand revelation here, but I keep Nautilus for large file moves. Like if they don't have a thing in common, like it's a list of, you know, MP3s and AUGs and everything else. Like I can just hit Control A and drag them into a folder instead of having to, you know, move star MP3. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you don't have to do that. You can just click, you know, Control A, clicky draggy, and it'll do it. So, but anyway, Nautilus. If you run Nautilus with the --no-desktop, then it will run just flat Nautilus, and that will solve all your problems.
Aye, there's the rub. That's what we're looking for.
And I assume, now I don't have a current stable Fluxbox anywhere. I'm just using the development version, but I would imagine that you could do that, and that would solve your problems if you're using current stable as well. Because no desktop means no desktop anywhere in the world, right?
Right. Yeah, it's nice to have Nautilus around. I like it for the thumbnails, right? It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Going through
as a JPEG viewer, it's very nice.
Yeah, so that is a great, great tip. Tell us about some, I don't know, did we cover your doc apps yet?
No.
On a previous show, I don't believe we did. What are a couple, now I'll tell you my favorite doc app from looking at your screenshots, and that's the Wi-Fi doc app. Gives you a signal strength.
Yeah, it gives you device and signal strength.
That's my favorite. Tell me some of your other favorites, some that you use regularly.
The four that I use, I've got five now. I had eight on the old box, and some were just redundant, and some of them they were just cool, but they didn't. Yeah, anyway, you love them or hate them.
Right.
So the first one I use is, of course, WMXMMS. It is a slit XMMS. You know, you double-click it, and it opens up XMMS, and it's got all the controllers in there. They're in the slit, and you can, like, tilt play and stop and choose your files and a little volume slider there. It's really cool. It's dead handy, and there are other ones as well. WMXMMS actually opens up XMMS also, so you can, you know, like, just tool around with XMMS like you ordinarily would, or you can also do it from the slit. Which is cool, a little bit redundant because it does open up the big program. Now, there are some that I haven't tried yet, some slit apps that just run in the slit. Like, that's all they are. They're like a 6K MP3 player.
Rad. Now, how do you change the border colors, or the colors, I should say, of dock apps.
Okay. Now, there's, like, the actual slit itself is, you know, just, yeah, like, what, 64 pixels or something? I can't remember the dimensions of the slit, but the height or length, depending on where you have your sitting, is dependent upon how many dock apps are in there. So there's a little bit of a border around it. And for me, the theme that I use, just basically because it does everything that I like, there's one development theme that's not really publicly available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you want to enlighten us?
Just bust a little directory transversal.
There we go.
Pretty easy to find.
Very nice.
Yeah. So anyway, you can get that one. And you can also get, there's a default that comes with it that I like called Rancor. And it's like a red, to black.
I'm using that one now. It's awesome.
That's really cool. And the, you know, you turn the menu alpha to like 40. So it's like you can see through it. It's just really, it's beautiful. It's a good theme. And it doesn't do the rounded corners, but you can add that in. I mean, creating a theme in Fluxbox really is, all you got to do is just sit down and bang it out. I mean, it's basically not a whole lot to it. You just got to do it.
Cool.
Find commands that you like and themes that you already have. Just pretty much Frankenstein you one up. But anyway, you can change, if you right-click on the slit, the first thing you're going to want to do when you start getting your dock apps, and there's Dock App Warehouse, dockapps.org. It's a good place. That's where I get most of mine. They're a good place to get dock apps. Some of them, read the readmes on some of them. Some of them you got to do some funky stuff. Like some of them you have to use, like you have to do like some stripping and stuff like that. You got to. Some of them are odd to put together. So just read the readmes. You'll be fine. If I got them all going, if I haven't had one crap out on me, you definitely won't. So do that, and right-click on the slit, first things first, and there will be, like, an options, or directions, I think it is. It's got three periods after. It's got an ellipse after it, and you want that to be normal, because if it's not, then the slit will be always on top of everything. And even if you change it to not always on top, even if you change it to maximize over slit, it'll still be on top. So change that to normal. Otherwise, you open Mozilla Firebird, and congratulations, the whole left half or right half of your screen is your slit, your dock apps. So change that to normal. That'll save yourself a lot of time, a lot of trouble. And you right-click on the slit again, and basically, there's a, it's called alpha, just or alpha or slit alpha. I'm not sitting in my flux box right now, or else I'd tell you what it was for sure. But I just changed the alpha to zero, so that way it's the actual slit itself is completely transparent through to the background.
Cool.
But there's a little bit of like the outline where the border ends, so that way you can tell that there's a slit there. It's just not ugly or intrusive. And also, if you need to configure your slit more, you've got a really good area to configure it. You know, you're not going to have to guess to see where it begins or ends.
Right. That's nice. That sounds pretty classy, actually.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can, like, it's just like anything else. You can, it's pretty easy. Like, I made my first GDM theme.
Yes.
Last night.
How'd you do it?
Pretty easy. You just take a, you know, there's a guy whose name escapes me. His name's Julian. Yeah, he makes pretty much all the really good GDM themes. Like, you see one that's like a picture of like leaves, or like there's one that's like a bunch of sunflowers. Like all the really good photography. There's one of like the Roman Colosseum, like at dusk. All the really good photography GDM themes that you see at art.gnome.org or at Freshmeat, he did them. That's him. And so I went to his homepage and, you know, I was reading around there and stuff like that, and I sent him an email. I was like, look, man, My homeboy Google doesn't know anything about creating GDM themes, and yours are pretty much the bomb. So, I mean, I'd like to give this a shot. And he's like, oh, man, here's how you do it. And so I did it pretty much to his specifications. I mean, there's a lot to learn, but there's a lot that you can, like, you don't have to know it all to make one, right? What I did, I went to Fresh Meat, and I found one that had the buttons that I liked, like the session button and the options button. Found one that had two buttons that I liked and got the buttons. Found one that had the actual login, like username, password screen, in the place that I wanted it for the picture that I had predetermined was going to be the GDM theme, and found that one. And then assembled it all together, referenced the proper XML file and the desktop file, referenced the proper graphics in the XML file, tar.gzdub, and there you got it.
And you just stick it in there and it works, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that is awesome. We're going to be putting that on Old School Freak as well.
Yeah, I posted it, you know, little sad. I posted it in the forums, you know, and like no one's, like everyone kind of glazed it over.
What? That's only because I haven't used it yet, and you know I'll be using that. I will be using that instantly, and that's for the graphical greeter, right?
Yeah, and it's a switch. Like, that's it, the picture has got switch.
It's a switch. Oh, it's that. Who made that?
Psycho Puppy.
Dude, props to him. That is rad, rad. Is that wallpaper size?
Yeah.
It's like 1024x768. Great.
It, man, you know, and it's not. I'm not saying this because I think my theme is, but that picture is awesome. And so it makes the theme look awesome because that picture is so good. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to use that.
Yeah, you should hook it up. Let me know what you think.
And I will. Oh, I absolutely will. I'm going to try to do it tonight, and maybe we can get it on the site soon. It will go on the site, but hopefully soon. That's cool. You made a theme, and that's going to be our first like theme ever on Old School Freak that you made. That is great.
I'm hoping to be a recreational Flexbox themer.
Yeah, yes.
And to do some stuff and find like all the, you know, there's some great art in the Old School Freak art gallery.
Oh yeah,
the Hacker Art Gallery. You know, there's one of Zapperlink's. It's a blue one. It's got the flag of the Old School Freak.
RFA blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one's really nice. I'd like to make a Flexbox theme around that.
Ooh, that'd be rad. With that blue, if you could add like a blue tint to your, ooh, that'd be nice. A blue tint to your A-term.
Yeah.
Have you done that yet? That can be done, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, it's easy, man. It's just a hex value. It's
the tint. Six RGB?
No, it's just it's tint. There's like a window tint, yes or no, or true or false.
Uh-huh.
True, and then tint.color equals, and then hex. Like, you know, pound FFFFF for a F for Y.
Gotcha. The 6-digit hex code RGB. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I cannot wait. I think I'm gonna wipe out the Red Hat 9 for various reasons. Zapper. And
yeah.
You know,
that's like getting owned. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I had to rebuild my box, but at least it's not because it got owned.
By the way, it was not owned. It was an insider. It's the insider threat. That is the greatest threat ever. Well, and also the fact that anything within 10 feet of Zapper gets owned, right? Straight up. Dude, mad respect. Mad props to Zapper, by the way. It's all good, by the way. It's all good. Dude, I cannot wait. Yeah, that's what I want to do, because, you know, I got the slack on this box, but it's not fast. I try to put a video card in, and it chokes. So I think it's time for Red Hat to go. I think it's time to move on. No, I think it's time to move forward.
Yes.
I think it's time to move forward. Hit the old BitTorrent and grab them 9-1s. And use some Soiree. I think it's time for, you guessed it. It's been a long time. When is the last time we had formal freak news?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, never mind then. Okay. Good.
Hey, how are we doing for time, man? I'm looking at the time. It's
That's a good question. I think we're getting close. I think after the Freak News will be done. If we're short or long, I don't care. This is a damn good show.
This is a good show.
And it's going to get better because we've got... You know what we've got right now? For you.
For me?
For you and everyone else. All those fuckers out there. Do you know what ep that was?
If you hadn't asked me, I would have been able to tell you. It was you. It was during the Stank Mute era.
It was?
And it was just Stank. It was you and Stank doing the show. And he was Stank about it. I mean, you're like that. And he was like, oh, man, that's great.
You know? Dude, Stank is a shit.
Yeah, he's one hell of an awesome guy.
Yeah, he is. This is what sucks. He's recording, and this is ironic. He is recording right now. As we record, I believe he's recording. So, yeah. We're all sometimes busy. We can't get on each other's shows. Freak News. What we have for everyone is an intimate look into the lives of AT&T airport payphones. Yes, many shows ago, we talked about the AT&T airport payphones. Many different models, mostly Fortress payphones. About how you can get free directory assistance using those phones. Well, you know what? They deserve more. They deserve better. Right? They're lonely. They're lonely in rows of four throughout the airport. This is Sky Harbor, by the way. I had to go to them. I had to give them attention, so I did. Actually, I just had time to kill before I fly. So, I spent some quality time with these AT&T Airport Pay telephones. As I said, you can get free directory assistance, which is great. It's awesome. You walk up 411, you get free directory assistance. In fact, if I may quote, directory assistance within the area code, no charge, 1-411.
Are you reading that off the placard?
No!
Okay, I was about to say.
Bland.
Some sticky damn fingers when it comes to the iPhone placards, man.
All the ones I have were on the ground, and I was picking up litter. Okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell the company line here. I'm sorry.
So, no, it's not off. I'm not reading it directly off the placard.
The placard's in the other room.
it's kind of off at an angle. No. I wrote it in the Freak Notebook. Too many cops zipping around on their mountain bikes in there. I was in the 602 area code, right? I was in Sky Harbor. And again, it said within the area code, no charge, 1411. Well, let me read a number for you, 505-292-0454. That's the number to New Mexico Relay. You can get directory assistance outside that NPA. Nationwide, I don't know. I didn't test it. I did so many things. But absolutely, you can get directory assistance outside that area code. That's the first thing. That's the first idiosyncrasy, the first piece of the great life of these AT&T payphones. So let us delve further into these good phones. As you would imagine, these are AT&T phones. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get back here. There we go. The 1010-288 works as usual, as you would expect. 00, though, takes you to network PTS operator. That's right. It takes you to a network PTS op, and it's a billing op, whatever that means. I guess it means that they can only do what they can do, which is make collect calls, calling card calls, or credit card calls for you. So they can help you. They can help place those calls. They cannot dial any toll-free numbers, right? And they cannot, like most operators, connect you to a toll-free number for a calling card, or you know, you can't use a prepaid calling card. So that's where 00 takes you. You dial 0, takes you to the same place, a network PTS op. Further into these phones, if you dial, I only tried one. I should have tried more. I tried, I thought it was MCI at the time, but I was wrong. This was a Global Crossing. 1010-444. That's right. I tried that PIC code. And what do you think I would get, Bland?
Well, the operator, because it's your federal right to...
to choose my long-distance carrier?
Why, absolutely.
Slapsitively? No! No, that is incorrect. I'm sorry. No, no, these phones give you, these AT&T pay phones, give you 1010-444 gets you 52-10. I'm sorry. The toll-free number you have dialed cannot be accessed from paid telephones. That's right. AT&T will not let you use Global Crossing. I should have tried more. I should have tried MCI, which is 222. I should have tried Sprint, which is 333. I should have tried any random PIC code, but I didn't. But at least that one Global Crossing, it would not let me access. And it said, and this is the crazy thing, that toll-free number you have dialed cannot be accessed from paid telephones. Bad, 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 bad phone.
Your particular paid telephone, they mean to say.
Yeah, bad pay phone. And you know, come on now. Seriously, people gotta, and I kind of gave this message at the end of my presentation at the 2600 meeting. People, you gotta mess with this stuff while you can. Mess with payphones while you can. Mess with copper while you can, because it's going away. Slowly but surely, it is going away. And really, these phones are lonely. There's granted, there are banks of these phones, and you know, some people do use them. There's lots of them, not as many people, whatever. Nobody was on them. I'm some weirdo with a notebook and calling cards and a cell phone sitting right there messing with this phone for an hour. And then I'll go over to the next phone and get its number. You know, and go to some other phone. You know, I'm a freaking weirdo because I'm using a payphone. Use those payphones, and especially if you get the opportunity, you're doing some traveling, mess with the payphones in airports. I don't know why, but airports are just like tech heaven to me. I mean, I just think they're a blast. All those payphones, all the different kiosks, you know, all the security technology you get to check out and evaluate. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. So that's one of the positives. You know, I hate the whole circus thing, but other than that, I like it. I think that's about it for the AT&T pay. Nope, I'm sorry. There is one more thing. You can call an AT&T, I don't know, I guess it's like a payphone operator. It's actually AT&T Public Markets. That's what that's the branch that deals with their payphones. They're in Indianapolis. And the number is 800-718-5182. And let's call them right now. Be right back, Bland.
Hey.
Are you there, Blaine?
No.
Okay. Huh. Maybe it didn't go through. Huh. Hold on. Didn't go through. You're still there, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me try this again. Call cannot be completed from your residential telephone. What's the deal? All right, this is very odd. Okay, Bland? Bland?
Yeah.
Can you try this number?
Yeah, hold on, let me open up a T file here.
Pop open the A term.
Yeah, see, actually, my wife sent me to my room to do the show, so. I opened up Microsoft Word.
Oh, ow!
So bloated. No, don't even.
I had to use PowerPoint. You ready?
Yeah.
800-718-5182. Thank you, by the way.
800-718-5182.
Yeah.
Have this number with no additional charge. Press or say 1 now. Right back. That's the Verizon.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right.
As Bland dials feverishly, to finish out the AT&T Airport payphone segment. I really enjoyed playing with these phones. You know, they're kind of worn, and I kind of like that, you know. Anything?
You know, I thought I heard something going on before I flashed over.
What is the deal?
That's weird.
Well, does that 800 number only work from their own payphones? I doubt it. That is very odd, because I called it and I talked to them. So anybody, call that number. I'm going to try to call it and hopefully get a recording of it. I don't know what I'll talk to them about, but I'll figure something out on the fly. And again, 800-718-5182. That's AT&T Public Markets. That's their payphone division, I guess. Actually, there is one more thing. At least at Sky Harbor, they have banks of four payphones, and they're all Fortress, and three are in, you know, really clean-looking stainless enclosures, and most of the phone is covered, right, except for the face, basically. The last one is a different enclosure, again, stainless, but the big rounded kind that you're used to seeing, right, the bit, like the half pipe, right, that the Fortress is sitting in, and a low slung little table. That's the one I mess with, you know, I set everything down there and write stuff. Really nice, really convenient. It's like that, I believe. I don't know if it's for handicapped people. I'm not sure. It is very convenient to set stuff on. But also, that one has, since the whole phone is exposed, it has a card reader. And, oh yeah, this is why I called the operators. For me, messing with the phone, I couldn't do a damn thing with the card reader. None of the ops, the network PTS, the AT&T ops, nobody could get the card, or I couldn't initiate a call with that card reader. And they said it can't and it won't. And when I did call the AT&T Public Markets, they said it's only there in case the phone malfunctions. And you use that to make a call. And that didn't quite make any sense to me. It didn't quite make much sense. It doesn't, you know, if the phone doesn't function, right, how are you going to make a call, period? I pick it up, hopefully, I don't know, maybe it'll ring to the operator automatically, I don't know, I didn't try it, and then maybe you could read it in, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. Everybody wanted me to read the number to them, so, from far as I know, from what I could tell, that card reader didn't do a damn thing. So, that was my interesting time with those payphones. I had a blast, and I filled up that freak notebook. I got some payphone numbers, I'll read off a couple, what the hell. They do accept incoming calls. These are payphones at Sky Harbor International Airport, all in the 602 NPA and the 387 exchange. We got 9252, 9330, 9331, and 9254. Again, 602 area code, 387 exchange, 9252, 9254, 9330, and 9331. They all take incoming calls. That's around gate C17 to C20 down there in Terminal 4. So, Fun phones. I enjoyed myself. I mean, that was like, I had that good freak feeling, you know? So, that was a lot of fun. You know, and it's nothing super lead. You know, I'm not making freak calls. I'm just screwing around with stuff, learning about these phones. And they really do have idiosyncrasies. I don't know if they're lonely, but they're unique. They are unique, and that was a blast. So, I hope everybody enjoyed listening to it. To close out the freak news, PWF. I also got 10 PWF numbers. I trekked to two Walmarts when I was in the Phoenix area, and I know, dude. And it was I went late at night too. Here's the thing, but they were still, one was just hella busy late at night. And you know what? I rolled up into one, and it was like the parking lot was like a disgusting wasteland, just filled with, you know, carts everywhere and garbage, and it was really rather gross. It was really, really disgusting. I guess the guy on meth that drives the street sweeper hadn't got there yet, so it was gross. So I did. Both of them were super centers, and they had five phones apiece. And of course, if you got more than four, you got to have a TTY. And both did have a TTY. One was inoperable. I didn't test the other one, but I got 10 numbers. Other people sent me numbers. I don't know off the top of my head who they were, but I've got them. You're going to get a much larger PWF file shortly, and keep checking back. We're going to have some good stuff for PWF, so and phone numbers are just the beginning of the next update. So that's it. Let's close out the freak news. Oh, yeah, and obvious, and I don't have to tell everybody this. This is nothing big. Obviously, if you want to use your calling card, Optivert, and you won't be charged the 10 units or the 50 cents or whatever it is. So do that from your AT&T payphones when you run into them. Yeah, mess with that payphone, man, and mess with that copper while you can. I think that's it, Bland.
That was a very good show.
Very good show. I enjoyed the hell out of it. You know, I just... Doing this show... is it an outlet for you, Bland?
Definitely. Oh, definitely.
Does it add just a little bit of meaning, I mean, to... Well, I don't want to say to our lives. Our lives obviously have meanings, right, to ourselves and to the ones we love. But, you know... It adds a little to the community. It gives me something to look forward to. Does it you as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm very happy that there are other shows now, new shows. Default Radio kicks ass. Ben Rev kicks ass as always. I just heard that the CCC PR is available for download. Can't wait to hear that. Gamer, I was listening to Gamer 26 before we were recording, enjoying the hell out of that. You know, all of these things give me something to look forward to, and especially this time with you, Bland, and Zapper, and whoever else we get to record with. That, you know, it's fun. You know, that gives me something to look forward to as well. So, keep listening. Listen to the other shows. And why don't you make your own show? If you ever had just a slight itch to make a show, right? Even if it's a 15 minutes. It doesn't... You know, that's another thing that I don't think have pimped enough, is that who says it has to be the conventional weekly one-hour show? Right? It doesn't have to be. It can be whatever you want. Right?
Actually, that's really cool. I mean, if you just made a link to it, you know, if you never streamed it or anything, it was just like some weeks it was 10 minutes and some weeks it was 2 hours, you know?
Right. And it could be anything. Don't be stuck in that 1 hour weekly thing, man. You could 5 minutes of, you know, you reading, you know, Edgar Allan Poe. I don't know, which is one book I'd really like to get, by the way. You know, anything at all. You know, if you want to burp for a minute, fine. If you want to, it could be art to you. It doesn't have to be a show. It could be art. Here is my 2 minute piece of audio art. You can absolutely do whatever you want. You want to do nerdcore, you want to play your instrument, anything. People will enjoy it. They might not enjoy it, but that's okay. Somebody will. Okay. I've ranted enough, I think. Thank you, Bland.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let me take my last sip of cold, cold French Vanilla Cafe.
Ugh.
Mmm. Oh. It's like extra nasty when it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
And this has been Radio Freak America. Create something and give somebody a book. Later, everybody.
助けてもらわなくてもいいんだよ。俺からは俺がお前を助けてやる。そん時はいいな、カネちゃんよ。
なんだと？てめえ誰に向かって口聞いてんだ？
へっ、口の聞き方が気に入らねえか？頭に来たか？ならどうする？おい、カネだ！どうすんだよ！
もうやめて。これ以上人を傷つけないで。
アキラってのはどこにいる？
それは
オリンピック会場、地下施設。
違う、違うわ。
なんだこりゃ、これも俺の力なのか。